Essen ist fertig.
Okay, komme.
Mittags bei Henning.
Der Podcast mit Anja und Josie.
Herzlich willkommen, mittags bei Henning. Josie.
Anja, was geht?
Nicht viel bei dir?
Warum hast du eigentlich eine Mütze an? Bist du nicht drin?
Es,
du sitzt doch drin.
Bad Hair Day.
Oh, Bad Hair Day.
Kennst du?
Nee, ist mir, habe ich noch nie, also wirklich bei Locken, die sitzen, du wachst morgens auf, die sitzen perfekt, gar kein Problem. Ich freue mich richtig auf heute. Ich glaube, es wird richtig, richtig spannend.
Ich auch, denn wir haben seit langem mal wieder einen Gast, nachdem wir ja das ein oder andere Mal
verschoben haben.
Es wird heute aber leider eine Folge auf Englisch sein, für die ein oder andere. Das Intro auf Deutsch.
Genau, wir haben ein paar Sachen, die wir vorher noch mit euch teilen wollen. Und deswegen auf Deutsch. Und irgendwann wird Anja den Hebel umschalten und sagen, Hebel umschalten, kann man das sagen? Hebel umlegen
kann man,
und
kann
wird
man
sagen, jetzt ist es Englisch. Beziehungsweise vielleicht sogar so ein spanisches Englisch, was ich ja sogar, ich finde den Akzent schon, der ist schon cool, ist schon okay. Aber deswegen jetzt noch kurz auf Deutsch. Anja, ganz kurz, das ist jetzt die letzte Folge in diesem Jahr, ist sozusagen unsere Weihnachtsfolge.
Genau.
Ich habe dir gesagt, mach ein Kerzchen an. Das hast du natürlich nicht gemacht.
Habe ich
sehe ich von hier.
Ja, aber okay, red weiter.
Okay. Genau, letzte Weihnachtsfolge und deswegen wollen wir da einfach mal ein bisschen Bonuspunkte sammeln und einfach was verschenken.
Ja, auf jeden Fall. Verlosen. Wir verlosen es.
Verlosen? Oh,
noch besser.
Ist ja fast dasselbe. Okay, wir verlosen. Was machen wir?
Okay, wir verlosen richtig krass 10 T-Shirts von unserer tollen Mittags bei Henning Kollektion bei und mit Zopfball. Also 10 T-Shirts, die es so noch nicht gab, in einer Farbe, die es so noch nicht gab. Und was ist der
Punkt? Ich das gelesen, aber habe ich kurz überlegt. Eine Farbe, die es noch nicht gab. Was für eine Farbe könnte das sein?
Aber
ist ja logisch, wenn wir nur 2, 3 Farben hatten. Aber ich habe so kurz überlegt, was für eine Farbe. Also
was wäre denn was Cooles? Ja, das lasst euch überraschen.
Ja, genau.
Aber was ist denn das Tolle an diesen T-Shirts, Josie?
Ja, also es ist einfach safe mein Design.
Das ist Josies Design. Sie sind fair und vegan produziert.
So viel Werbung haben wir noch nie im Leben gemacht. Aber egal. Sind fair produziert. Es ist einfach geiler Scheiß. Die sind super, Marke super. Ihr könnt euch darauf verlassen, dass das alles ordentlich gemacht wurde und nicht aus China importiert und mal kurz unser Label draufgeklebt. Genau, zusammen mit Zopfball. Und ich würde sagen, ihr unter dem Post verteckt ihr einfach die Leute, die das kriegen sollen. Und wir suchen dann einfach raus, welche Namen wir einfach am schönsten finden.
Oder was auch immer uns gefällt.
Genau.
Oder,
so machen wir's.
Oder warum sie vielleicht dieses T-Shirt bekommen sollten. Das ist doch.
Das wäre natürlich.
So was richtig Cooles, Kreatives.
Ja. Einfach posten auf Glück. Wir werden schon irgendwelche Leute von euch finden.
Ja.
Ja, cool. So machen wir's.
Dann würden wir. Hast du noch irgendwas hinzuzufügen? Letzte Folge oder irgendwas so? Nee.
Was hatte ich noch überlegt? Ne, ich habe nur, also ihr habt noch ein Spiel, ne? Dann ist Winterpause.
Richtig.
Bei mir ist jetzt schon Winterpause. Let's go, oder?
Ja. Dann würde ich sagen, wir switchen to English and just say hi to Vero Buchette and welcome to Vero.
Hi guys, thanks for having me.
Patiently waiting.
Yes, just listening German. Yeah. My German was never good, but now I can tell you I have no words in my mind of German.
And you just thought, oh my God, that still sounds so sexy, German to me. Not.
Sexy was not the word I was thinking, but it could be.
Yeah, for those who don't know who you are, I mean, you're obviously a Spanish former national player and you played in so many countries. When I looked it up, I was like, wow, how is that even possible? You know, and then I saw we have some things in common. Of course, we played in Sweden together. I mean, you played for Tyresö and I played for Malmö at this time. And we had this final in the last game in the Swedish championship. And it was the last game of the season. And the winner was winning the championship, and you won your team, Thürisse, with a goal, which wasn't a goal, you know, but obviously you would say different. But you remember?
Yeah, of course I remember. I remember it because we have the last chance because you guys mess up in Umeå.
Yeah, right. So, because of Ramona Bachmann took a hand twice,
yes,
and she got a yellow-red card. And we were one man less. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember that because if you had win against Umeå, you was the champion. So I remember that I didn't want to watch the game. Mm-hmm. I was at the gym talking with the guy saying like, yeah, you know, we just lost the championship. They are probably celebrating now. I didn't bring my phone to the... I didn't want to know anything. And then when I arrived home, I just checked my phone. I don't know why I was coming back on the bike. I was like, I'm feeling something. Something, yeah, something weird. And then I arrive and I have so many calls. Yes. And it was crazy. Mm-hmm. And then the final game, it was crazy too.
Yeah.
So for me, it was a goal, of course. But
it was crazy times. But like I said, you played in, of course, in Spain and Russia and China and USA, in Sweden and Germany and France. It's like more than, I don't know.
Half of the world.
Exactly. And then I saw also you came to Paris Saint-Germain when I think I left the season before and you came after and Josie left the half year before that. So we missed that time to play in the same team. And then I saw we also have a thing in common besides winning championship and Champions League and stuff. We played all three at the World Cup 2015 in Canada. Oh. You qualified for the first time with Spain. Josie, do you also remember that? Or
I think I wanted to forget that World Cup, to be honest. No, but I do remember. But I think if I go back in time and I try to remember, because Vero played the same time. I mean, you were 2 years older than me, but you played almost the same, not the same career, but the same time and the same time period. So we, of course, experienced like everything when there was a new format or there were new stories somewhere or overseas, you know, it's the same time. So I think it's super interesting to see or to hear players who traveled a lot. And I met Miriam, I think I met you, to be honest. Don't remember that much because I was really drunk, but I think it was somewhere you were playing for Munich and then it was somewhere in a training camp or it was somewhere games or somewhere in Spain, I don't know, and we went to a club and I like honestly I don't remember that much, but somewhere there I have no idea when it was.
Actually I don't remember neither,
and
so that's
of
weird.
Course the first one was Thürisse. The first one was the final, Lisbon, yeah. Thürisse. We had this crazy game. We won with Wolfsburg. Thürisse had a lot of troubles at that time, to be honest. But that was the first one. And then you kicked me. You kicked my ass because that was PSG against the final against Frankfurt.
Oh, yeah, right.
Mm. And then you turned it around. So I think there was always, you know, a little bit of, of course, you follow each other, what teams do and stuff. But the last time I met Vero, and that was that's the reason why you're here, is because I had a good time with you and a red wine, and we just had a very good discussion on the bike at the UEFA. What was the thing again? Like the first female, what was it?
Football board.
Yeah, football board.
Yeah.
And you were, of course, on the bike, like always, I think, because Vero has two very different talents. One is she can drink and have a very good time, and she's a very good athlete and very professional. So I think you have these two things.
And still playing, yeah, but you know, don't forget.
And still playing. So,
yeah.
I mean, and how you're playing in Italy right now. How long do you plan for playing? Do you think about it? Because, I mean, we all have been there, and we know how it feels, so...
Yeah, I have to say it's, in the last years, it's always in my mind. I know that the end of my career is arriving, but I don't want to put a time. I don't want to say, okay, now is I feel great. The last years, especially last year and also this year, I'm feeling like if I'm 25. So I try to enjoy, and I'm as competitive as always in trainings, in games. I like the project of Fiorentina is also really ambitious, and for me it's really motivating to be. I was used to fighting for titles, and when I came to Italy and when I came to Fiorentina, it was kind of like changing a little. Maybe you cannot win the titles, but you need to help to develop something. And for me, it was really motivate. And now we are in a good position to qualify for Champions League for next season. So if that happens, maybe I play another year.
You should. It's.
Oh, you will.
It's always. It's one advice I always give to when we have like athletes or still football players in our podcast. It's like, play as long as you can and you're still motivated and your body says yes, do it because it's the best job ever. And whatever, when you decide to quit, because whatever which job you're going to take, you will never be paid as much as you do now, because you're a beginner, obviously, even when you start coaching or whatever. So that's also my advice. Save your money, do the right things, and play as long as you can. Enjoy it, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everyone, you don't know, Anya. You don't know. If Veru gets becomes a coach, she will get being paid even more.
That's the plan. Because if we think about it, like, we were lucky, I'm being lucky with my career, but also at the same time, we were a little unlucky because women's football is in a better position now. Mm-hmm. So the salaries are higher now than it was before, and the publicity and everything. So I'm actually expecting that maybe I can get more money in my next career as a coach than maybe as a player. I mean, I don't know. I'm still saving my money and doing the right thing. But why not? I want to be a coach, and I want to coach in the highest level. So let's see if I will have a good salary or a shitty one.
No, but what I mean, you will always start with a low. I'm sure you will become a higher salary. But I like that you want to be a coach. We need all female players who played on a top level to, or at least the one who wants it to coach and to come into coaching. I like that.
But I think that's the thing with Veru. And we discussed this because there is a good thing when you stopped 2017, I think the same time I stopped with the national team. And I think there's something you can bring, because you can openly talk about the national team. You can openly talk about, you know, so many things, because you can't get kicked out. And that's like a freedom no other player has. So, and that's what you did. And that's why what I admire, because you don't have to do it. You know, you could easily say like, you know, women's soccer is growing and they do it on their own. But you always, when you have a chance, you speak on so many channels and you really have a motivation to change something. And I don't want to say not every player has this, but why did you find out, or how did you find out that this is something where you're really passionate about?
That's actually a good question. I mean, I always, like, I started to play when I was little, and when I would have, like, I was 5 or 6 years old, and I started to play in the first team. I was the only girl playing with the boys. And there was a rule that says, a federation rule that says girls cannot play with boys. So my first year, I was to every training and every game, but I was sitting on the bench and I couldn't play. So I guess it's already coming from there, from all the things that were no fair when I was a little, and all the things that I have to hear and an experience by myself. So for me, it's like to leave my sport in a better situation and with better conditions is always the biggest goal. of my career. I tried to do it when I was in the national team. I'm trying to do it now, playing in the highest level, but I will keep doing it also later. And yeah, it's something that is natural for me. And during my career, I have to pay some consequence for fighting for the change, but it was always worth it. Seeing now that Spain won the last World Cup, like I was commentating on TV and I was crying. I couldn't talk for 2-3 minutes. Like the game was over and we were on live, but I couldn't know to speak because it was like, yeah, I knew that this could happen. So I knew it, and it's kind of like, okay, now you have the confirmation, like you were right. So yeah, it was really satisfying.
And so nice you've been a part of it, you know? I think, even if you're not on the pitch, but commentating, I think if you really take it serious, you're in the match, you know, you'll have so many emotions and you know what it can bring for your country. So I think it's one of the coolest things to do. I really think this job is a gift for everyone who can do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and you can see you're still really emotional when you talk about it, you know. So, and I guess you're really proud when you look back to when you started and how the Spain team develops, just football-wise and probably with all the conditions around and that you've been a part from the journey. And you were also a part of the change, so I think you must be also proud of yourself or somehow.
Yeah, definitely. I think all the players that we kind of fight in 2015 to change, not just the national team, it was like all women's football in Spain. Like, we are really proud because we know that we did the right thing. Then some of us, we pay the consequence, others not. Like, at the end, you played your role during the time in the history that you have to be there. And we did our job. And we are proud from that beginning. And now we are also proud to see that some of the players that were there with us, that they were really young. Mm-hmm. Well, we put the seed, you know, because they are fighting for all the other things. And I hope that also them goal is to leave something to the younger generations, and we just grow up and they grow up with that mentality and with that goals for the future too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a saying in Germany, it's called Butter bei die Fische, means butter to the fishes. I don't know if you have this in Spain, but it means you speak, you know, now something serious comes. Okay, now we talk real talk, you know? So if we talk about the World Cup, of course, that's what you mean by fighting, because now the Spanish players, I mean, it started way before the World Cup, but there were so many scandals and there was so much shit going on. Where are they now? Because I know you follow them and I know you're still in touch and you still kind of fight with or for, or, you know, it changed all the time, but where are they now? What's the situation? If we think about it, like, there's another saying that sometimes if it's really dark, it's not the terrible thing, but you planted a seed maybe deep in the, you know, that's why it's dark. So what would you say, where is Spain right now?
I will say that there is already light. So the seed already grow. I think the World Cup was really powerful. All the things that happened, all the bad things that happened, it helped to change things for good. And now the national team has a new sport director, really successful. He was the sport director in Barcelona. Then some people that shouldn't be there, they are out. So that's also
some good, is good. I think how many?
Yeah, like it's not just one, it's not two, it's more than 3, 4, 5 people. So actually that's a good sign too. For me, the question now is that, okay, we gonna stop just with that? Or we gonna use the moment to really go deep in the structure, especially in the Football Federation, but also outside of the football world, because what happened in the World Cup, it happened to every woman in any other job, like on the street, at the bar, in supermarket, in any business company. So we are fighting for equality, and we are using now the football to change that. And I think in Spain it's being really powerful, and everyone is really focused on that. But then we have to use that to keep changing things. So yeah, I think for the team, for the national team, they are in a good position now, and they just gonna get better. And I hope that they can keep the success in the next years.
Me too. I think it's like role models, because you see how you fight. No one has an idea how you fight, but you just start somewhere. And I think I read it last week, because it was Debbie Hewitt from the FA who said, like, who came out and said, okay, we have, obviously I'm talking about the Rubiales case. There were some players and I was concerned and it looked different. And she was talking about the English players. So, and I was like, oh, look, you know, you're being brave. You say you fight. And then a chairwoman comes out and says, hey, I actually have to say something too. And I felt the same. And, you know, it has a huge impact. I think it's a massive role model case. And I think it will be the first step of so many other things, because everyone who has a problem will call all the Spanish ones.
Yeah, but actually, I think that every woman football players, like every women football player, like they knew exactly what Jenny and the rest of the players were feeling, because in a way or another, we have experienced this type of things all our career. Like, yeah, people in charge that were not capable of doing them job and matches. And so we need to change that. And obviously in our sport, but after that, we have to keep going.
There was also, like, for all the German people who are listening now, you gave a really good interview for the German newspaper called Spiegel, which is unfortunately not, you have to pay to read it, which is sad, but I went through it before, some weeks before, and now again when we talked, and I was still in shock when, yeah, things like they got hacked Jenny Amoso's phone, or I don't know even where to start. It's like things you feel like it's incredible. And no one knows in Germany even that things like this happen. So I think, like, people need to know what's happened in your federation, or what happened before, like that you traveled to the World Cup 2015 in Canada 2 days before from Europe to Canada. And you didn't have any clips from your opponents or any preparation. Yeah. It's... for me, and it's not like 20 years ago, you know.
It's crazy, and we had to go through how many video,
yeah,
things, you know.
Well, we did our own videos, so
really?
We meet, yeah, in 2015 we were like 6 months without any friendly game, and we traveled there like just 2 days before of the game, and like I got some of us, we got some videos from our rivals. So in some afternoons, our teammates were coming and we were talking, like, okay, midfielders, what do you need? What do you think? Okay, the forwards. So we try, and I think when we lost in that World Cup, the last game against Korea, like, I have a really good picture coming out from the field. Like, it's just the tunnel and just me with my back. And I still remember what I was thinking in that moment. And I knew that I have to fight, because I knew that we were out of this World Cup, not because of us, not because of lack of talent, not because of lack of passion or like interest or compromise from the players. We were out because, like, people in charge was no good enough.
Yeah, so, because of an unfair setting or something.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, 8 years later, the players that are now in the national team, like in that moment in 2015, we were fighting for better conditions to be able to go to a World Cup and play in the same level than the rest. But this last World Cup, it was a little different because they were fighting because they wanted to win, not participate. Mm. 8 years later, in 2015 was, we just want to participate and try to do our best. So can you help us to do that? But this year it was like, well, we know that we can win. Like the players knew that they have the talent to be a champion of the world. But yeah, the conditions and the staff and all the things around were just not at the same level.
Mm. Do you think that we, maybe not anymore, but do you think that players underestimate the power, their own power, they have, or how they have a voice? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree. But it's also normal that they don't think that they have the power, because for so many years they put your head down. You cannot speak, because if you speak, you are out. How many times that happened? In every country, like every time that a player wanted to change something, it was like, oh, this player has a complicated character. If that happened in men football, they will be saying like, that's the guy. He is really ambitious.
We need those.
Yes, exactly. But if it's a woman, no, you are pushing too much. You are
complicated.
This
is the complicated one.
Yeah. And we grew up like that. So if you see that all the time, it's normal that players, they are afraid to speak. But actually in the last years, that changed. Yeah. Like, the world in general is changing. So now everyone is more open to speak up and say, okay, I'm no agree, or I don't like this. I think we have to change it. So I think we are in the right way, but sometimes you also know that at the end, someone has to speak higher than the rest. And that is still a little complicated. Like some players, they prefer, to speak, but maybe put someone else in the front, just in case.
Yeah, I agree.
I think when I look back also at my time at the national team, and you know also, Josie, I mean, we had a coach in Germany for a long, 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 long time. So, and I remember also that if there were some maybe characters, like you said, who weren't maybe, that comfortable, it was not a long time they were part of the national team. So, but I also read, in the interview when you talked about your former national team coach, Jorge Vilda, I don't know if I said it correctly, and I was still shocked about it, that you had to leave the door open at night so he could come in and say goodnight, or that you, all the captain, or you as a captain, when you were captain, had to sit on a different board when you were eating dinner or lunch.
Yeah. Yeah, he just wanted to control everything. So for him to control everything was like, to have the power to come in the rooms and talk to you about personal stuff even, or like about the game or whatever it was, like in front of your roommate, or maybe you wanted to sleep, but you knew that he will come. And then the captains, we could never sit in the same table together because he was afraid that maybe we were talking about him or complaining about something. And then the rest of the teams, the teammates gonna follow us. Somehow I can even understand him, because he was really afraid that the same thing that happened to the last coach, that he was on the bench for 27 years. Mm-hmm. 27 years without winning anything. So Jorge was a little afraid that the players also say, oh, he's also not good enough. Because actually, he was not good enough in that time. He has no experience. He had never coached a team before. He just was there because his dad worked for the federation. And then, little by little, he took the under-17. And at the end, you take the best team in Spain, like the national team. So he was afraid because he knew he was no well prepared. So the beginning, it was like that. He wanted to control absolutely everything and try to put some players with complicated characters away. And I guess it was not the best start, neither the best end, even though he will be in the history of football just because he won the World Cup. But yeah.
No, for me, he will be first in the history of football because of the abuse of that power, for sure. Like, in and everyone I meet, I will make sure that this is the first one, because this is absolutely... I know what you mean by you understand. I can understand. If you have some pressure, you know, it's just that system. Someone put pressure on you and you have to... You just don't know better and you just give it. And I don't know any personal things about him. So it's just... And we have this cancel culture. But everything doesn't excuse, you know, some things. And I'm so happy that they come out. And I'm so happy for players like you when you name those things and you're not scared of naming them. Because even if you read that in German, this article, you trust me, everyone who I talked to who read this article, they were shocked. And they were, and I think this happened in a lot of countries as well, when they were talking, you know, problems in their own country came up. Because of this case, because talking about this case, their own problems were shown. In Germany, we had some big, one of the biggest men in football taking, you know, the side for this one or this one. Well, he took definitely the wrong side. But yeah. And then, so it helps in every country. And I think it's just fantastic if you don't have to, you know, talk about those things and you make it visible and transparent.
Yeah, definitely to talk is good for the person that say it and also for people that is listening. But at the same time, it's like we have to be realistic too. And we know that we cannot change everything. And it's like if I think about Jorge or Rubiales, like Jorge is the head coach and sport director in Morocco now. So it's like, how is that even possible? Like just 2 or 3 months later, even when you have to go to testify and there is this huge case in your own country. And it's like, at the end, there are so many things behind and deep things. Like the next World Cup is Portugal, Spain and Morocco. Oh, casualty. Oh, no, maybe it's no casualty that he's going there. So it's like so many friends in common. That's great. But yeah, like we still have to clean up a lot of the things that are behind. But at the same time, we have to be proud of the things that is already changing. So keep going, but at the same time, it's like kind of enjoy little
wins.
Little victories.
Little tiny wins.
Yeah.
Did you have a role model where you were like, okay, because I think it's super, if someone doesn't show you how to fight and how to stand for your own rights and just how it works and how you can be successful and be your own and you know, speak for someone or for yourself. There's no way that you're just not gonna learn it. So I was thinking, because I had some, but not one, the one, but I had some where I was like, oh, look how she does it. Oh, look how he does it. You know, so I was a little bit, did you have one role model where you were like, this is amazing to see and you collected some ideas?
I would love to say yes, but actually not. Like, of course, during my career, I took different things from different people, and you always, if you pay attention, you can learn a lot. Good things and bad things. Also for the bad things. I saw things during my career that is like, oh, that definitely, I will never do it. So, but for me, for my character, and no one teach me how to fight, but I guessing, like, and it's a time, it's for now for a while that I'm thinking about it, like, why I'm like that, like, why I'm a fighter and I want to change things. And actually, I think it comes from my grandmother, because the mom of my dad, You know, like in Spain, years ago, the women have nothing. She leave it the wartime and the dictator time too, and she was no able to read or to. She was just a woman on the in a little town, just working for the family, and but. She was the smartest woman that I always met. Like, you could not steal a penny from her. Like, even though if she doesn't know how to count, she will find out. So she was really a fighter in her own way. So I think that it's coming from her. And so many times I'm thinking about her and say, like, well, I'm actually living a life that she will love to have the privilege to live it. So I think it's coming from deeper in the blood.
So cute. Mm-hmm. I think I could cry. Mm-hmm. I think it's so human. That makes so sense. It makes so sense. And they don't, sometimes they don't have to, like grandmas or mostly grandmas probably, but they don't have to say and tell it to you, no? You know, you should do this and this and this, but just how they talk and when they speak from their own experience. I know my grandma couldn't study. She was never allowed, and she was alone with two children in Madrid, and it was just like she was just, you know, fighting like her own way, and she would have loved to become a chemistry like study chemistry. And that was she was just not allowed. And she had an exam, and after that. So I think it makes perfectly sense that you have some kind of a generation. It's in your blood, and you have to do the next steps and the next steps. So I guess that. Anya, you have to ask a question because I ran out of battery and I have to find this charger. It happens to me all the time.
Nothing new.
Give me a second.
Yeah, then you can guess the answer. No, I'm interested because when I go back to all the teams you played for, or let's say all the countries you've been in, could you rank it like top 2, 3? I mean, obviously you rank it because also like depending on your how successful it was probably, and there's the best, you know. But like when you look back, is there something, which you really, what was the best time?
It's really tough because now it's like 8 different countries. Mm-hmm. Like Italy is my 8th country. And if I think about it, it's like every country and every time it gave me something. It was like maybe a title, or maybe it was like a life experience. Like, so it's tough to choose. But I think I will say in the first spot, it will be US. Mm-hmm. Because it was the first time that I really felt professional.
Oh,
so, like, I have never played in a big stadium before, or like traveling like a professional or training like a professional, because I was in Spain. I was already in the national team, but I was training in Barcelona, in Espanyol, at 9 p.m. So it was like, can you imagine that? Like, like my time in Spain, I was playing training at 8 or 9 o'clock because it was the time for the women team. Because before it was like all the men team and the kids and everyone was before than you. So we were training at 9 p.m. So after Barcelona, I went to US and I was training in the morning. I was like, oh, wow, that's actually cool. And I was playing in big stadiums. And so it was the first time that I really felt professional. So for me, US is it's special. Then Tyresö, Sweden, gave me the chance to be in the highest level. So for me, like, quality life, the life experience that I have there, like playing with the best players of the world, winning also titles, all the way until the Champions League final, even though we lost, like that, all the things that I lived there, it was really, really special. So for me, Sweden is special. And then the rest.
Then the rest.
You had a fucking great team.
I was supposed to say the same.
Oh,
what the
goodness.
Fuck? Yeah. It was like, what was it? Elli Krieger, Hermoso, Caroline Seger, what's the...
Marta.
At some point, also Caroline Hansen.
Oh, yeah, right?
Kristin Press, Megan Klingenberg.
Oh, my God.
This team.
Everyone.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Yeah,
Hallelujah.
It was definitely, for me, it was like a dream. Like the day that Marta came into the look room, I was like, no, it's not even possible. Because for me, it was like, Marta was actually like my role model. And she's no much older than me, but like I'm from a little town in Spain, like a small region, like, we never have a team in first division. Like, I didn't knew anything about the World Cup or, like, nothing. And then when I was, like, 14, 15, I start to know. And little, like, maybe two years later, I start to hear about Marta. So then when I go to TRSA and somehow someone say, like, yeah, maybe Marta is coming, I was like, no, it's not possible. And when she opened the door, I still remember, like, really, like, the door was in my left side, and she opened the door, and she just came and say, hey, hi. I was like, no. So the first days, I was just so happy just to train with her. Mm-hmm. Like, I say, I'm done. Like, I don't care if we win or not. I'm training with Marta.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I still remember that because she, I mean, her pace with the ball, I think it's unbelievable. And I remember because I teared, I don't know, my muscle, what do you call this one?
Trying to the hamstring?
When you rupture, I'm in my pajamas, if you see it. But it doesn't matter. Okay. So here, this, and it was like, you know, tight. Yeah, so I had a, I just say this in German, ich habe mir eine Ruptur geholt und habe mir nicht eine Zerrung, sondern das war einfach, der Muskel war zerrissen.
Wow.
So I couldn't play and I remember we had like 1 week or 10 days and the coach and the assistant coach, they said, yeah, we make it happen. I was like, no way. But I wanted to, you know, I wanted so bad. But I knew I would have to play against Marta. And even, you know, with her pace, and I was just like, oh my God, it's never going to happen. But and then we, I don't know why, but at some, I think we were really lucky, but we had this, we had an amazing locker room in the half. I will never forget it. So there was some talking from Nadine Kessler, you know, our captain. And I think it changed a little bit the mood. Not even the coach, you know, Ralf Kellermann. It was, which is, I mean, greetings go out. Good job. But Nadine was taking the lead, just talking. And I think somehow we were lucky because your team was, it was sick that time. But
it was really good, the team, but also the mentality of that team, because we played that final that it was like in May without getting paid since January. Mm. So there is no way, like, and every day people show up at training and did the best training ever. Every day was better and better and better. Like, we were preparing the semifinal and we even didn't knew if we were able to play or not because they have to decide. And we were training and all the media was there like waiting for the final decision. And we were like, just focus on the game and focus on the training. Everyone was like highest level, really, really professional. And for us, like, just to prove that we were really good and that we deserve to play that Champions League final, it was our motivation. So no money for 5 months. But still, we have our proud inside, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for the history, for the football god, you know, I think after that, everyone had, from your team, got a better life and an amazing career. And I think that's what you deserve after this. Like, give us the win, but you had an amazing career, everyone, after that. But I think it's fantastic. Imagine a men's team not being paid at that level and then, you know, on the way to a Champions League final. I mean, you cannot... I'm just so happy and hope this will, we're in a different time now and this will, you know, hopefully never happen again. But I'm not so sure because we were talking about the big leagues and maybe it won't happen there, but you know, the smaller ones, and it's still, there's still a lot. But
Josie,
remember,
wait,
when,
can, yeah? Just before you're telling your story, can you tell all the people listening how the game ended, please? Not like that, but it's just like how it was in the halftime, yeah. And how, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe just because I haven't been there, so I just watched it. So, Josie.
Yeah, I just remember that we won. Like, I'm honestly, someone asked.
Okay, I can tell the story. I can tell the story because I remember it perfectly. And I still, it's the only game in my career that I never rewatch. Watch it again, that final. Yeah. No, even today. Like, I just put it away. People still say that is the best Champions League ever final, like, whatever. I was like, no, it was a shit show. But we were winning 2-0, and people think that we just thought that the game was over. I have to say, it was not true. We knew that we were playing against a German team, so we knew that we have to still play until the 95 minutes. But yeah, like, I also think that then they tied 2-2. Then we still score again. We were 3-2 up. Then they scored the 3-3, and then they scored the 4-3. But even though, like, I think we were really unlucky, because things that happened in that game, it never happened before to us. Like, one of our best fit players, she was cramping. And then when we were with them, they scored one goal. And, like, so many small things that make, yeah, the result that it was. So it was tough, but it was a fun final to watch, I guess.
Yeah, but I can tell you something which maybe this keep, you know, you can put it in the right direction. So my abuela was there, mm-hmm. And she was at the party, and she just had the best time in Lisbon, and she was watching her, you know, granddaughter winning a Champions League final, and you know, being, she played handball a long time, so and at some point couldn't anymore. So I think this what you exactly said. So she was watching her granddaughter doing that. So I think
I feel much better. Like, now I'm definitely feeling much better. So yeah, we are okay. We are okay.
Okay. Well, and you won in Berlin, so shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that's true. But also, this is a story that always, you know, like, when I go home, I always do some visit to schools and teams and with kids. And I always tell, because kids always ask you how many titles you want and blah, 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 and all these things. So I always say, yeah, I played 3 Champions League final and I lost 2 and I won 1. And they kind of look at you like, oh, that's no good. And I like, well, this actually is the reality. You're going to lose more than you win. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when we lost that final in Lisbon, I remember when you guys were lifting the trophy on the stands, I was looking at you. I was like, I don't know where I have to go, but next year I have to win this. So yeah, then I moved to US, but I was thinking I'm going to come back to Europe as soon as the league is over, and I'm going to win the Champions League. So then I decided to go to Frankfurt because my goal was winning the Champions League. And then I did it. So the satisfaction when I won in Berlin, it was double because of Lisbon and there. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, and it's so worth it, because if you win at a very young age, like, let's say you in your league, I mean, you're from, is it Santiago Compostela?
Sí.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're from Santiago, and I think, like you said, there's not like a lot of big teams around, and especially not for girls. And if you just imagine, like, all the way, like your whole way, you know, and you started there, and I think it's amazing, because I have almost, or so many players have this story that they come from a little village where there's nothing. There's no way that you're going to be this amazing player with this amazing career. And And I think the will you form, you know, your motivation, your own stuff, you will make you decide the right decisions at the right time, and you somehow connect, like you choose your path. I believe in this 100%. So I think when you form this, like you said, okay, the next level, okay, this step, or, you know, I go abroad and I want to experience, but so you form this like year after year. And I think it's so fantastic, like to look at your career, because you also did something, because you went to Asia, which mm-hmm. not a lot of mm-hmm. people do, or players.
Yeah.
And I know, because I said no to an offer from Seoul, but you went. And tell us a little bit about it, and about the culture, and what is your biggest thing you took away?
Well, when I went to China, like, I needed a change. Like, when I put some goals and I do it, then I need to move. I was 2 years in Germany because my goal was Champions League and Bundesliga, and I did it with Frankfurt and Munich, and then it's like, it's time for me to move. And I went to PSG. And then after 2 or 3 years in PSG, I say, it's time for me to go. And all the thing happened also with the national team. So it was a really tough moment in my career in general. So I needed a big change. And the big change was Asia. So, okay, let's go to China. When I arrived there, the first three days, I was like, no way. I was calling my agent and he's like, no, you move here, you take a flight, you come here and you bring me home. Like, there is no way I'm going to stay here. And I think I was in shock for a couple of weeks because everything is so different. Like, I remember, like, I was in a hotel. I wanted to cross the street to buy some things in a store. And I was not even able. Like, it was cars and motors and bikes and wheelchairs, electrics. Like, everything was a chaos. But for them, it was the normality. Mm-hmm. So after a while, then I was with my bike, stopping the cars, like, living like them. But in the beginning, it was tough. And, yeah, like, I was in a team that the coaching staff was foreign. They were from Sweden. So that was the only reason I say yes, because if everything was Chinese culture and people, it would be really tough for me, like the football style and trainings and everything. But like that, it was not that bad. And I actually love it. Like, I was there 9 months and it was too short. Every day was like, everything was so new. So, or the city or food, everything was totally different. So I really enjoy my time there and living in.
And you helped someone, right? You actually brought some, and I think this is such a fantastic story, because you made a friend and you actually showed her own country. Uh-huh. I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because, like, you know, like, in China, when they are like 12, 13 years old, they go to these training camps and they are there forever. So they are used to live with in a room with two or three teammates and breakfast 7:30, training, lunch at 1, training, like all the things, like, really scheduled. And we have like 3 or 4 days free, and I wanted to go to the middle of China. And I was organizing the trip, and I was talking with my teammate that was the only one that was able to speak English. And she was like, oh, that looks amazing, that trip. And I was like, yeah, why you don't come? And she was like, really? I can go with you? I was like, of course. So we were at the airport, and she was so excited about the trip. Like, at some point, I said, like, okay, just chill down. Yeah, chill. And she was like, yeah, you know, like, it's my first trip by myself without the team. Mm. I was like, what do you mean? Like,
and how yeah, old I was never, she? I, like,
she
more
was
or less
20, was... 25.
Yeah, imagine, 25.
Yes, never traveled with her family or with friends, like, always traveling with the team for a game, or that was all. So for sure, she had the best time of her life. And it changed a little her mentality too. Then she learned also about coffee, because they never drink coffee with me. She drink coffee. And I know that still when they have vacations, she really enjoy her vacation, and she wants to come to Europe, she wants to travel. So that's an impact that in this case I was lucky to have in her life. But yeah, like it was a really cool experience in China.
I can't imagine. Like, honestly, I can't imagine, because I think
I ate everything. Yeah. I, like, the rule was, don't tell me what it is. I eat it. Wow. And then you can tell me. So every time we travel, like, I wanted to try everything. They brought me, they are really nice people. Like, I went to them houses with them family. I cook with their grandmother. Like, when we travel, I always try to try all the food and everything. And they will bring me everything. Like, okay, try this one. I eat it.
This was the little fingernail of our little chicken outside the training camp.
It could be.
It's realistic. Well, I think it's just crazy, but it's such a, I mean, you will always know how, you know, you will know a little bit about the culture, and you just have almost, you have this from every continent. So I think it's just, there are not many players who have this whole view and open, being open to all the cultures. So I think it's just we need you as a coach, you know? We need you, or in the politics, you know, in the football politics,
a little of everything. Yeah, like in the more office part, I think to have experience from everywhere is really good, because you understand why people decide or how they think. What are their priorities, how they work. So I think that's good. But also for the coaching part, like, I was lucky to play in 8 different countries, mm-hmm. with totally different styles. Like, the training style I'm playing in Germany is totally different than in Spain or in Italy or in US. So to have all that mix, at the same time that you have the mix of the cultures and you understand people from different countries, I think it's a extra, or I hope it's going to be an extra for my future.
It will, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. I think if I think about Paris, because you played there too, and it's such a, it could be such a big influence in women's football, but for me, it still isn't, because there are still things happen which are, oh my God, I have no clue how to tell this. But I think it's still, there's a lot of money, but it could be better. And I think they could actually play a bigger role, but they don't. But I'm very, I don't know. There are so many ways coming together. So Anya played there, left in a, you know, not so good way. And this happened to so many players. So I was wondering why we played there, Anya. Mm. I was wondering, and I was thinking about humor. So if you have, because that the style and the technique of football and all that stuff, and even the culture part, that plays a big role. But humor, to me, belongs maybe to culture. It's a big part of me, because I feel like someone knows me when they know my humor and I can be myself, you know, because I'm just a little shithead. But what would you say if you compare, like, I don't know if you can compare it, but German humor, or, you know, the humor of different games, and how is your humor, or in Spain compared to other ones? Maybe yeah, US as well, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have never think about humor in that way. So definitely are different, and you can... if you don't know a person from which country it comes... But then when you start to know the humor, then it's like, ah, that can be from Germany, or that can be from US. But I think I have to think more about that part. But you felt like, what about France? Like, what did you feel there?
No, I think it makes sense that you don't think about it, because I think you're someone who just is truly herself in every fucking city and every country. So I think, no, honestly, I think it is such a big part because you're someone, you this is like one of your biggest strengths. You bring people together and you can just talk or you have a good time, but you can also go deep. And I think it's part of the, and you have a laugh. And you have this in every country. I know players of friends of you. You have them in every country, and so I think it's something you bring also to. I mean, you talk very serious in the politics where we have football boards, but you also bring, you know, when we have a coffee break or something, it helps. It just helps, and you're someone who has both. So I thought it's just a proof of if you're naturally yourself. There's no way that you have to force something, you know? You just have to be open.
I mean, now that you are saying it, it's like, it's probably true. I always try to be myself, like, in every way possible. So I know when I need to be serious, I know when I can just joke, but I'm no, like, it's not that I'm forcing something. So I'm actually always trying to be how I am, and sometimes some people don't like it, and then they have to adapt, or I have to adapt a little too. But yeah, I try to be myself as much as possible.
Yeah, we Germans were very funny, I guess. maybe not.
Some of them.
I think even when you said you didn't have a role model, I think you're a role model to a lot of young girls or young boys or whatever, or players or whatever. So I think
so too.
Yeah.
I think so too. So what's the part for you where you say, because I know you're a role model, we don't have to talk about that, but I think it's just 100% clear. What's the vision after everything? So you went to other countries and say, okay, I want to win this one. Tack, tack, check. Okay, I want to. And one of the parts was Asia. You know, I need something fresh, new. I just get away, bam. And then you went. So where are you right now? And what's your... is there a plan, or is it just like I go with the flow, or is there still like, you know, a little will?
I'm very German, you know, like I learned that in Germany. There is no like I'm going with the flow. No, there is a plan. There is always a plan. You can change it, because then is the Spanish style. Like I have a plan, like Germans, then sometimes you can change it,
yes,
because maybe you don't like it in that way, then you take other way. But I mean, right now I'm enjoying playing in Fiorentina, because the goal is clear, is to make the team play the Champions League and to become one of the strongest one here in Italy. So that is really motivating for me. And then is just prepare myself for the future. I just ended my master in a management position that probably I will never be, because I don't like that much the office. But I think, and I know, it's a really important position that we still need more women in those spots, but I'm preparing myself for being a coach. So I'm trying to learn more and to do some courses, licensing, like watching a lot of games. I'm also commentating. So I do radio and I do TV, men and women football. I hope to be in this summer in Germany, covering the main Euros.
Oh, nice.
That will be
yes,
huge.
Please. Yes, please.
Yeah, if that happens, because it will be probably the first women commentating.
Wow.
Is
men
it?
Euro Cup.
Cool.
Yeah, like we have just one, but since the women that do
moderates
the narration, but no commentating, technical comments. So if that happens, it will be great. If doesn't happen, will be great too, because it's going to happen in the future.
For sure.
So it's going to be okay. But so many things different, but at the same time, it's always football.
Mm-hmm.
That is my passion and is what I what they like.
Yeah. Such good words. I know we come to an end, because if I look at Anya, she's like this. She's like, oh my God, we're over an hour. We have to come to an end. So very German. But,
exactly.
no, but I mean, I could talk to you for hours. Yeah, maybe we are happy to mm-hmm. we're always happy to have you back. Maybe after an amazing first entrance at the World Cup, maybe we talk after that, because I think it will be fantastic. But and we could dig into so many things, and if you haven't for all those outside the podcast, if you haven't met Vero yet or her career or anything like that, like look her up. What she does and everything she does is amazing, and she's doing new path. So I'm just very, very happy you made some time for us.
Yes,
and hope course. To see you soon at some board and some with some red wine and
yeah, like that. That's for sure. So thanks for having me.
Yeah,
a pleasure.
Next time I also want to be part of your red wine or white wine session.
Absolutely.
Nice. Yes.
That's for sure. Yeah, we are really open. We accept everyone. So yeah.
Exactly.
Sounds good.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Don't hang up, please. Don't hang up.